the ones that take advantage of the fact that we actually have a First Amendment with a freedom of the press and a claim to do that in an objective manner, do they really? And you got to wonder, especially with stories like something that came out of Auburn in the last few days, I look at and like, my gosh, like most of the press decided to just go with the non-story. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to call a friend of mine. Jeff Poor is somebody who's on the show quite often, but Jeff has been around the news environment for quite a while. He's not only the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, he has his own radio show down yonder in Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, the Jeff Poor Show. But he's also worked with Breitbart, Lanyap, and a number of others. So let's just get him on the air. Jeff Poor, how you doing, man?
Good to be on, Senator. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for switching to the phone. I don't know what's going on with the techno here, but we appreciate you making time and making amends on the tech. But listen, the free press thing. I think if anybody that I know in my sphere, in my Rolodex, it's going to be you that can talk about it. But the thing that really got me about this story out of Auburn, so for those who don't know, there was a little bitty pro-Palestinian protest. Not many people showed up, but they blanketed graffiti all over the entrance gate to Auburn University, right there at Toomer's Corner. And then somehow or another, the story became two guys got in a fight. And most of the press didn't even bother talking about the actual defacing of our university. Talk about it.
Well, and I was – so Sunday happens, and we get word of this happening. And just kind of calling around and getting all our ducks in a row, we run the story on Monday morning, no one's touched it. It was a little surprising to me that somebody writes this, I think it's an anti-Semitic trope, on the gates of Auburn University, the main gate of Auburn University, iconic place where they roll the trees after winds. Everybody knows what it is. And this is up there. Now, the university came, to their credit, came and immediately pressure washed it off. But the news didn't really cover it that much. It didn't cover it at all. And I was a little surprised by that. I guess technically the very first outlet with the story was the Auburn Plainsman. However, the story, instead of becoming about this, you know, could you imagine they put Trump 2024 on the main gate to Auburn? What do you think would have happened?
Yes, and been riots.
So anyway, finally the media kind of catch up to it, and AL.com, WSFA, which is the TV station down in Montgomery, they get on, and then they follow the Plainsman's lead, which is a peaceful protester, a peaceful pro-Palestinian protester, gets beaten by a counter protester.
Well, the video didn't even look that way. I mean, he was a punk with his spiked wristbands and getting in people's faces and, you know, and bowing up and making a scene. He picked a fight.
So it made it sound like it was just these Auburn redneck boys looking to go rough up a couple of them hippie liberal types down at the main gate there, and that's not what happened at all. And the media, I mean, they didn't even bother to question it, and they barely mentioned that there's this anti-Semitic slur written across the main gate of the university, and didn't even think that was a big deal at all. They made it all about, they made the protagonist, whoever this unidentified, looks like a college student to me. I mean, you've seen the video and you've seen the photos.
Right.
And I think that misses the story entirely of what's going on there. So anyway, there's no follow-up, which probably tells you what you need to know. That they didn't go try to track this guy down and say, hey, why are you, they let it go. The protester that got beat up didn't press charges. There was no, like, it was just, they just operate, they got their headline. They got their headline that it was a pro-Israel or some kind of counter-protester that beat this harmless little tree-hugging peace lover up. And that's not what happened at all. And so the media do this. It's just like what Rush Limbaugh's called, drive-by media. And then there's no follow-up. There's no curiosity there. No one's talking. Finally, like, we have some photographs. What everyone was basing their reporting off of was the plainsman who took a bunch of photographs and kind of, like, spliced them up. Like, didn't put them in order or any of that on the plainsman website. And he gave an interview, or I guess his boss gave an interview to AL.com and said that it was like, you know, yeah, this guy was just beating him up. Then we get the video.
Yeah.
And it's not that at all.
Not that
and
at
you
all.
You see the kid that was, yeah, you see the photographer that was claiming it was one thing for the plainsman. It turned out he was, it looked to me like neither one of these guys are going to win Boy Scout of the Year at all. But, this was a two to tango back and forth. And I don't know about you, Senator. I don't know how you grew up. And I used to see guys fight all the time. Maybe not over something like U.S.-Israel foreign policy, but much, much dumber, more trivial things. And but it was treated instead like it was like some kind of hate crime that was committed there, and it just looked like two dudes fighting it out with the other dude kind of winning.
Let me say, I got two headlines in my hand, exact same story. One of them is 1819 News, says from the river to the sea, anti-Israel protesters vandalize Auburn University's main gate, and you also quote Coach Bruce Pearl's wife Jackie. Who talks about the fact that this is serious and it's an anti-Jewish or anti-Israeli trope. And then the exact same story is AL.com. For those who don't know, fairly liberally biased so-called news reporting. Their headline is pro-Palestinian protester punched and bloodied at Auburn on anniversary of the Hamas attack. It spends all this time talking about things that counter-protesters allegedly said. But see, Jeff, here's the thing. We see this all the time. People talk about, Trump coined the phrase, I think it was Trump, coined the fake news, moniker. But I'm looking at stuff like even today. You got a story on Daily Wire. Major media outlets didn't say boo about the fact that the first husband or the second husband, Doug Emhoff, has allegations of domestic assault against a girlfriend. If that had been a Republican, my God, it would have been nothing but wall-to-wall coverage and seeking out people who have known him all of his life. And yet the major media is silent on it. Do we even have a free press right now?
We do have a free press, yeah. First Amendment, you can do whatever you want, but it is asymmetrical. It is one-sided. I don't know what the answer is because they go out of their way to try to suppress the other side. And I guess they don't allot them the same First Amendment rights, but I think that they view them as first. I mean, you heard what Hillary Clinton said yesterday, right? And that it's misinformation, or we need control, or whatever it is. But I don't think it hits like it used to. These media outlets, we don't trust our institutions, and I don't know how long a society can function with this distrust of medicine, of Hollywood, of high finance, of the mainstream media. But that's what's going on.
Yeah, that is what's going on. Let me ask you this, speaking of that media thing. So CBS, which famously hosted the most recent vice presidential debate and had the two harpies who were moderating it, fact-checking J.D. Vance, CBS is kind of up in arms because Trump has decided not to do the 60 Minutes interview. And they made a big thing. And yet today we see that in the online posting of the interview of Kamala Harris, in which she word saladed her way across the entire interview, they've actually edited it down to make her word salads less, burdensome. Should Trump have done the interview? Should he have gone with it? Or did he cancel because it was an expectation that there was not going to be fair play?
They've got to start cutting these media outlets off. They got to. The only way Republicans will never win another election if they operate on this assumption that these are objective arbiters who do these media interviews, that they're not. They just are one-sided. And you were talking about Doug Emhoff and the allegations there, but we went wall-to-wall with the goofy lieutenant governor of North Carolina, didn't we? And we're still hearing about that.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I'm just saying, it's up to the Republicans not to talk to these people, not to do their debates, not to do their stupid TV shows. And I mean, you know, if we're gonna have this, if we're gonna have this balkanization, where you don't ever see any serious Democrats go on Fox News, that we don't seem to see serious Republicans on all the rest of them. And that, I mean, I know that that's, you know, well, that's not good for democracy. Well, so what? I mean, I'm just, we can't have two rule books. We can't have two sets of rules in this country, because you have one side that's always going to have an advantage, and that's always going to, I think, personally, put the country back.
Well, so let me ask you this one last question here before we run out of time. There's all this talk about Kamala did a, and I'm not a little you know, teeny bopper girl, so I've never seen this podcast called Call Her Daddy. But Kamala did the Call Her Daddy podcast, which apparently is a really, really big deal in podcast world. Was that a good move, a real move, or just a fluff move that's going to blow right by? Is that the wave of the future, is to do non-mainstream media podcasts, but they're not always hard hitting? What do you think?
They're desperate. They're in trouble. And the people can tell you what, I mean, it may be close. It may be a very close race, but it should not be this close. And that's why you're seeing this flurry of interviews from her, be it Call Me Daddy, Howard Stern, The View, 60 Minutes. There'll be more of that. They're just looking where they can get a friendly audience. I don't think it's necessarily the format, but just something just big enough to where people will tune in and they know that she won't get beat up by a hostile interviewer, because she's, I think, looking at it, the numbers, I think their internals, and they know that, I mean, they could still win the popular vote, but they're in trouble in the Electoral College. And at this stage of the game, Senator, I mean, that's just what it looks like. It looks desperation to me.
Yeah, it does. It reeks of desperation. All right. Well, brother, listen, I knew you'd bring some perspective, but I appreciate you making time today. And in fact, Grand Council tomorrow. Hope to have you on then too, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Jeff Poor from 1819 News and host of the Jeff Poor Show down yonder in Mobile. We appreciate you. See you tomorrow.